Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was actually kind of hoping you were going to do that during the whole roll. Episode 93, Planning a Star War, is a dark time for the podcast. Although this galactic episode is secretly the 100th episode, crippling doubt has driven our genial podcasters from their usual calm and pushed them through the melancholy.
Into thoughtful melancholy.
Into thoughtful, yeah. God damn it.
Do you want me to read it?
Sure. Do I get to do the bow, bow, bow?
It is a dark time for the podcast. Although this galactic episode is secretly a 100th episode, crippling doubt has driven our genial podcasters from their usual calm and pushed them into thoughtful melancholy. Evading the incoming dreaded burnout, the team of determined poscasters. Yep.
We're possums now. Space possums.
Evading the incoming dreaded burnout, the team of determined podcasters, led by Kevin and Steve, has returned to the season theme on their childhood favorite series, Star Wars. The pair of dedicated The pair of dedicated podcasters, obsessed with making a great episode, have cast their minds back in time into the far reaches of space. No, that happens earlier.
Yeah.
I already did it.
I got to do the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's right. There we go. You've seen a Star War.
I may have seen a single Star War.
Still haven't seen all the Star War, though.
I've seen all the real Star War.
Oh, shots fired. Though he's not incorrect.
Nope, I am not wrong. That legend banner is powerful.
Actually, technically, I would argue you missed, like... I mean, you still haven't seen Mandalorian Season 2.
Oh, I guess that's true.
And the two random episodes they put out, I don't know. They're supposedly part of this other show.
Book of Mando?
That other show. Yes, the Book of the Mandalorian. But anyway, enough of our Star Wars takes.
That's not what this whole episode is? I'm just going to geek out about Star Wars?
It's not what this whole episode is. I mean, we're hopefully going to give some, you know, some suggestions.
Hopefully.
Maybe a few ideas.
Why Star Wars?
Why Star Wars? Because it's May the 4th. If you listen to this right as it comes out and are in, like, the Pacific time zone and a few others.
True.
But happy May the 4th.
If not, then maybe it just was May the 4th. And we're late. We're sorry.
True. Podcast comes out on Thursday, and we didn't really want to change it up because that's how your podcast gets, like, missed episodes and stuff.
True. Yeah. People get confused.
Yep. But yeah. I mean, we've played some Star Wars.
Just a bit. Also, maybe played like a couple of games and watched, you know, like the original trilogy a few times.
It's true.
Read a few books. You know, just like one, maybe two. I mean, for me, yeah. I've read only a few, but.
I'm reading one right now.
As we podcast.
I mean, I could.
Be like that father that sits in his study and smokes on his pipe and teaches his child while he flips through a book and reads it.
For a second there, I thought you were going full Gendo, but no.
No. I mean...
In case there's anyone confused
the
as to why...
Shinji.
In case there's anyone confused as to why we're making Neon Genesis Evangelion references, we just had like a Neon Genesis Evangelion rebuild marathon yesterday in our time. So,
yep.
A few are going to sneak through.
Quite possibly.
Indeed. We can not podcast. I've run several Star Wars games. We've played two of the systems.
I think we've only done two.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think we looked at another one.
Star Wars D20 or something. Is that what the original one was called that we played?
I think so. It's been a long time and it wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
But Edge of the Empire.
Edge of the Empire is good.
Gotta recommend it. They did a good job. I really like the class system. And yeah.
Yep. You can be pretty much whatever you want. It just costs you. You want to be complicated.
And you can run whatever settings you want, even. Like, it's very flexible.
True.
So before we move into settings, I did want to mention the crawl we did. It's based on Empire Strikes Back, in case anyone thought it sounded familiar. But I strongly recommend introducing your arcs with the Star Wars crawl. I do. And it's fun. You get to taunt your players, get to direct their focus. I just generally think it's a nice flavorful tool. I know how you feel about it as the player, Steve.
I mean, I like it. We didn't get the visual scroller last time, but
I know, because I've been lazy. You can find them, but to actually get them as a thing, you either have to screen record or pay for it. So
Well, I mean, OBS is free, so I mean, you could do it, and then you could put the music back to it if you just want to, show your players. So it's a thing you could do.
It's true, but then I have to pick which version of the theme, even though they're almost indistinguishable if you don't know what you're listening for. And
I mean, why?
Sorry, I promise. I promise I will not go super Star Wars nerd often.
I mean, you just picked the superior one. You picked the Empire Strikes Back one. Just use that template always. Why not?
I mean, my esteemed colleague is 100% correct. But
and then you just always end it with a panda Hoth. Wait, I mean, sorry.
Not disagreeing.
One thing you could do is it could be a way to kind of give people a reminder a week before a session. If you don't do a weekly session for Star Wars, it could be a way that you could be hey, just a reminder, we're meeting up this week. So here's a teaser.
Sorry.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm really glad that's going to get normalized so they don't blow out their eardrums every time.
Yep. I mean, the actual does kind of blow out your ears. Stupid THX. It's wow.
It's true, especially if you're in one of the good theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen Star Wars in IMAX, so it's a thing.
So recommendation for this podcast is do your Star Wars game and blow out your the ears of your players.
Yes, blow them out.
It's on theme.
But yeah, the actual consideration that you need to think about kind of when you're first forming your Star Wars game is, of course, what era you're doing it in.
I mean, there's a difference. I mean, you got your robots, right? I mean, what about, robots are robots, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, I think a droid campaign would be really cool. But yeah, I mean, currently there's technically not only eras, but multiple different timelines, as Steve inferred with Legends. And yeah, I mean, you have your pre-Republic, you have your Old Republic, you have your High Republic. It's one of the new ones. You have your Rise of the Empire / Clone Wars, essentially the prequel era. You have your Empire. You have your New Republic and your New Jedi Order / whatever the heck the Resistance age. Or First Order age, maybe. And then if you want to be real interesting and possibly make your players do some homework, unless they're somewhat old school Star Wars fans now, get your Yuuzhan on Vong Wars. and then there's an era after that. But it's another Jedi era. So yeah. But I would say pick one so that at least your players have an idea,
Yeah. And you don't have to necessarily memorize all these either.
No.
Especially since they're very confusing. What's the difference between pre-Republic, Old Republic, High Republic? I don't know. There's also New Republic. Fuck.
I mean, I know, but
yeah. But I mean, a lot of these take place in the book, in the book series, or the video games. Yeah. And I mean, there is some overlap, some of these, I believe, isn't one of the other republics, before the Rise of the Empire, technically, isn't it High Republic and then the Rise of the Empire?
Yeah. The High Republic is the newest one. They just kind of introduced, a little bit, of it, and they're not really supporting it well. It has a couple of books, a comic book series, and then they have one of the Disney Plus shows set at the very end, so that it's basically a Rise of the Empire Disney Plus show, but yeah, whatever. The advantage to those are you can kind of do whatever you want. Use like the couple things that are out as a starting point. But I know a bunch of people love like the old Republic, but that's a kind of another danger, especially if you're a GM and you have players who are knowledgeable about Star Wars. Steve and I have been those players.
Yep.
Who knew more than our GM who was trying to run a Star Wars game.
Yep.
And like, we held our tongues pretty well, but it wasn't a good game. And that made the kind of standout, like, oh, that's wrong stuff, really stand out.
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest issues we had was just that, I mean, I guess it was like a fundamental issue that he just didn't understand Star Wars well enough, is that, actually, this is probably a good point, before we go too deep into like the galaxy and stuff like that, is that like not just like the time period that you're playing in, but keep in mind that Star Wars spans the galaxy. Like, it is not really localized setting. Like, yeah, you sometimes will spend a long time on like one planet. I mean, like, I didn't read a ton of the books, but like there are a few books where they literally just take place on one planet and that's it. But from a player's perspective, it's like one of the things you can do is go from planet to planet. You should give them a shit. You should have a way to transport themselves. It should be easy. It should be cheap. It should be affordable. And you should allow them to do it. One thing that he just didn't... Huh? You wouldn't?
No, I said I 100% agree.
Oh, yeah. It's like we were kind of stuck on Tatooine of all places. Yeah,
like, we're going to talk about Tatooine.
Yeah. I mean, it's iconic, but come on. There's like not a lot to do there. But like you're trapped there and your characters are going to want to like move around. Don't restrict their movement and be very open to them wanting to move around. Even if, you know, they have to go, you're like, well, I don't want to give them a ship. Well then, you know, that's fine. Let them steal one and then deal with the consequences, you know, like however you want to do it.
I honestly think the first arc should be getting a ship.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's no reason not to. Once they're on a ship and they all have stakes in that ship, then they're together because ships are not cheap.
True.
Like I just gave my players a ship after they did a service for a wonderful character who they all love.
Yeah, we were, you know, rewarded with the ship. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not like you're on the run. Oh, wait, hang on.
Oh, yeah. And it's not like the ship is kind of like a ball and chain for us, but. Wait, it is.
Yep. But yeah, I definitely agree. I do think you should mix up the cannons, keep players on your toes, pull stuff from whatever you want, and make your own. Because you know what? That's what Disney's doing right now anyway.
True.
And if anyone, I don't know how serious of Star Wars fans we have, if anyone would like to dispute that, I would absolutely love to receive your email at roimperfection@gmail.com. but yeah, planets. There are many of them. I don't think you necessarily have to know everything about a planet. In fact, usually these planets are centered around one thing. There are only a few planets that you know what are going on in all of the timelines, basically.
True.
So even if you're going to a known planet, you can go to a place that's unknown.
True. I mean, for your game, I had Sekhnos be from Dantooine, and like in the movies, really all you hear about Dantooine is like, oh, the rebels, they're on Dantooine. I mean, there was a rebel base there. Huh?
Yeah, and if you're slightly cultured, you have seen animated Mace Windu wreck some droids on it.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, so I mean, it's just like a backwater place, and like it's kind of like farming territory almost for the most part. But there was like a rebel base there, so there's like ruins of it. Or you would expect there to be ruins of it. I don't know if they necessarily confirmed that there are, but I just kind of took like Yavin 4 kind of as an example. Like they probably have like a base similar to that, but like lower tech that was left behind.
Yeah, probably actually more like Hoth.
Oh yeah, maybe more like Hoth. Yeah. But more like bunker in the ground type of thing. But yeah.
So it doesn't take a lot. Just a little bit of research. Like literally most of the time. I just look at Wikipedia. Like, I look at Wikipedia and just read up, especially with, like, random places. Like, we were just at Bakura. Props, if you know that name.
And he's not being like jokey about Wikipedia. Like, that's literally what it's called.
No, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's a good resource.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that, like, everything on whatever that, like, standard wiki thing is, it pops up with, like, annoying videos, close them.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, that's really all you need. Then you can make it up from there. There's kind of a more important thing, but really what you need to know about planets are what kind of, like, biome they are, like, what temperature it is. Is it, like, hilly or mountainous or volcanic or an ocean or mixed or whatever? And then you need to know what the standard critter is there, or standard set of critters, what the standard races are like, and
maybe a little bit about, like, the culture. And when I say culture, I don't mean like culture like we talk about, like, here on, you know, Earth. I mean culture as in, like, is this like a bounty hunter planet? Is this a smuggler planet? Is this like something that's like controlled by the Empire? It, you know, like a little bit more about like what they do on that planet, like kind of like in general.
Yeah. I do think it is a very important thing to remember to ask your players where they're going at the end of a session. It's at the end of an arc and they're hyperspacing off to somewhere else. You need to know where they're going so you can plan the next time.
Yeah. I'd recommend for like Star Wars, since like a lot of like planets are kind of, not all of them obviously, but like a lot of them are kind of known. I would recommend that you give them like reason to want to go to a couple. So just be like, okay, you guys are out in space. You kind of go wherever you want. And I don't have any leads for you guys. You can literally go wherever you want, where you want to go, because they're not going to be able to decide on a place. So you have to give them like something to like munch on or to consider to want to like go to one place or another. Rather than just like, hey, let's go to, you know, Naboo. Let's go see, you know, some broken asteroids in the ground, you know, how long it took them to rust. You know, I don't know. Probably not a good idea. You probably want to like lead them along and give them like a reason to go out. It's kind of general for most space, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd say a set of options. And you can even make up some new planets. Throw in some original planets, which is actually something I haven't done, but I probably should do before we end our Star Wars game.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. But yeah, before we move off of planets and move on to aliens.
Indeed.
I'm going to make a recommendation. Stay away from Tatooine.
Agreed.
Yeah, Steve doesn't even know the half of it. Tatooine, because it's essentially the first planet we visit in the original trilogy, it has kind of a weird outsized importance, and it only has that because of the fans, and it's just so overused. Like, Book of Boba Fett spends the entire time there, and it's predicated on the viewer caring about Tatooine because we've seen it so often, which, glad if you like it, cool. Honestly, I did not think that motivation worked. I do not care who's in charge of Tatooine. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, like, it's the thing about Tatooine is that, admittedly, like, good things about Tatooine, first of all, but I'm still gonna say that you shouldn't, you know, stay away from Tatooine, like, Tatooine has a lot of like different, like, I guess you could say, like, ecosystems almost in a way. You have like your Jawas and the scavengers, and then you have the Tusken Raiders, and then you have, you know, like Jabba's palace, then you have Mos Eisley of, you know, Scum and Villainy, and like, there's probably
pod
some
racing
other ones. Oh yeah, pod racing, there you go, you got Watto and his pod racing. Like, there's a lot of like iconic stuff for Tatooine, so it's very easy to just go to Tatooine and be like, yeah, there's all this stuff here, you know, what do you guys want to do? You don't have to really prepare much. But the thing is that, like, Tatooine is, like, as a theme, it's very, like, desolate, it's very dry, it's very harsh. That's kind of its thing. It's a literal fucking desert planet. And you can have too much of it. You can have too much of anything, really. So, like, even Hoth, I like Hoth. I would be down to do a campaign on Hoth. My character would absolutely fucking hate it, but we could totally do it. The problem is that if you stay on a planet for too long like that, where that's like kind of its stick is, you know, like, oh, here it is, you know, it's, you know, desolate planet. It gets boring really fast. Like,
and it's just so known.
It is very known now. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, you know, you're gonna go into this city. Well, what's this city called? Mos Eisley. Oh, I wonder what we're gonna find there. You know, am I gonna go to Jabba's palace? I wonder what I'm gonna find there. It's like, what are you gonna expect to find? Something? I mean, you could do a twist, I guess, if you wanted, and have like literally nothing be the same. It's been so long since, you know, the movie timeline that things have like drastically changed. But I don't know, like.
Yeah, and I would say you point out something good to remember. Make other planets like Tatooine.
Yes, have fill them out.
A bunch of shit going on. Have maybe multiple options per planet. And, you know, then your players get to try, you know, your players don't just want to be in space. They want to use, like, speeder bikes and, like, speeders and, like, do some, like, vehicle combat, too. That's also a part of Star Wars. And having multiple places in one planet helps with that.
Yeah, it's actually something that, like, you just made me think of in terms of Star Wars that's kind of unique, is that, like, Star Wars has a thing with, like, the environment and how it affects, like, everything else that's going around it. So you have, like, your moisture evaporators on Tatooine. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, well, duh, I know about that. And it's like, well, you have, you know, your large desert where droids get, you know, rusty and stuff. Oh, well, yeah, of course. It's like, but when you think about, like, vehicles and stuff like that and the stuff they go through, like, on Hoth, you had a moment where they're like, oh, we can't take speeders out there. It's too cold for them. They just won't operate. It's like, oh, okay. So you're going to run into that type of situation on Tatooine? Probably not. Well, what about Dagobah? Oh, well, it'll probably just sink in the ground. Dagobah, as we saw, and get, also in Empire.
And get eaten and spat up by a dragon snake.
Oh, yeah. And your R2 unit will get eaten and spat out by a dragon snake. Yep.
Yep.
But yeah, so like the environments like play a key role in like creating interesting situations that doesn't overlap. So having different like settings that you go to as you let them travel is like a good thing. So let them kind of like change up what they're expecting and how they play a certain way. As if you're just like, oh yeah, you're constantly looking for water because, you know, it's desert planet. Isn't this fun? It's like, I mean, yeah. Star Wars isn't, you know, Mad Max and it's not Dune. So why are we stuck on a desert planet?
True, though George Lucas was somewhat inspired by Dune.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Fill out those planets, make them more interesting, like make like the ecosystem work and have different, you know, organizations working together or against each other. And we've talked about previously and many, many times.
Yeah. And also mix up those aliens.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
One of the toughest things as a Star Wars GM. And I literally found like a visual guide to all the species, because it's Star Wars and you're making this shit up. There should be just like everything around if you're in like a reasonably populated area.
True.
You should see like Yuuzhans and freaking, you know, Jawas and all this shit together. And so when you're like, even when I'm doing thugs, I'm usually like, okay, you've got the Sulistin and you've got the Devorian. And I go, you know, how many humans do you guys face, Steve? You guys face a lot of humans?
No, not really. I can't even think of a like a regular human off the top of my head. I guess it was that random human. Dude. But I mean, Empire is, you know, humans.
Oh, yeah. If it's Empire.
It's Empire, it's a lot of humans. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good idea. Know what are the dominant species. Bleh. Know what are the dominant species on whatever planet you are. Just throw in the rest. Make it a galaxy.
Yeah, I kind of think of it like, I mean, it's too bad there isn't like just like a thing where you can like quickly like type in a couple of alien races and it will like populate them into like a scene or something for you. That'd be kind of cool. Because like, the one thing with, like, you know, Mos Eisley that was kind of cool is, you know, they go to the cantina and you see all these aliens and you kind of want to have, like, that type of moment where you're just like, oh, I'm definitely not on Earth anymore. Having a visual representation is kind of helpful. It does get kind of bogged down, I think, when you just be like, okay, here's, like, a list of, like, five different aliens that you guys see, like, predominantly here. And there's, like, a bunch of others randomly around. And then your players will probably look at you especially if they're not like really seasoned Star Wars people, to be like, what are four of those five that I've never heard of?
Yeah, I'm going to link the visual guide I use because I just shared it with my players and it makes it so much easier.
Makes it so much easier than trying to describe it. It's like, well, you know, they got like scaly skin and horns and it's like that doesn't narrow it down.
True.
Okay, well, this one's got fur. Also doesn't narrow it down. We're talking Jawa or Ewok or like, you know, Chewbacca. And we got Wookiees in here. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're like me or Steve, where you're going to know most of them. But like even I throw in some random ones, like I'm the only one who's seen Rebels of my crew. So when I threw in a Lasat the other week, everyone was like, what's that? And I was like, oh, OK, you know, they're the Wookiees that aren't Wookiees. They're based on their like original designs and their whole thing in the show. None of you have seen. They're kind of cool. I like Lasats. I liked Rebels. So, yeah. Be ready to explain a little bit. And like I said, I'm going to link the visual guide I use because it's so helpful.
Yep.
I'd also say go against type. You know, you have Toydarians, Watto's species from episodes 1 and 2. They're pretty cringy, a little bit Jewish stereotype. My players ran into one and he was the most honest and gave them the best deal.
Yep.
Out of the choices they had. It's a similar thing with like, you know, have a good hut. I haven't done that yet, but it's not out of the question. Have
a Jawa that like repairs your shit for you and is just like, oh, hey, looks like you lost this, rather than just like stealing your shit and be like, oh, that droid's mine now. I'm going to go sell it at the market.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I even did the bait and switch where I had the Twi'lek dancer and she wasn't a Twi'lek.
Yep.
That was fun. And then she betrayed you. Good times.
Yep.
Yeah. She's my Chiss, my main Chiss character. She was wearing makeup.
And the team's pain in the butt.
Isn't she great? And play with that. You know, you can do that, and as you can see with Steve's wonderful love for this character, you can really mess with your players. Make it Star Wars, but I continue to argue you can have Star Wars without just doing the same freaking thing that like half the movies do, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be about like, you know, like, oh, we need, you know, like a character or all of our characters to be like on their way to become Jedi. It's like, oh, like, you don't need to do that, and you don't need to, I mean, you don't even need to have the Force, really. I mean, the Force could be, like, a very, like, rarely used thing on your team. It could be, like Leia's, like, extension of the Force in the original trilogy. 4, 5, and 6, I mean. Just to clarify. Like, she doesn't really, like, Force lift things, and she doesn't, like, wield like a lightsaber like Luke does. Like, I think she picks up and uses it a couple of times, but she doesn't like use it. But she has like some of the like the Force feelings and stuff like that, and like hunches, and she hears Luke's voice and that type of stuff, you know, stuff like that. And that could be like somewhat common, especially depending on what races you have. But I mean, you don't necessarily need to do like all those tropes. Like, you don't have to go down the same path that like all the movies do. You can do like we're doing.
I thought you were going to go down the same path your father did. Sorry. But yeah, hang on. Let's put the Jedi question on the table for just a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. I brought a couple things up a little early. I realized. My bad.
I just moved a section on our notes.
It's funny because the section after that I was talking about earlier too, but yeah.
Yeah. Before we leave species, I definitely want to say, think about adding new species. It's a pain in the ass, but you can do it.
Mm, yeah.
And also, don't be afraid of banned species, because fuck Gungans. I mean, look, if you want to have Gungans, that's fine. I would say definitely put a twist on it, because, yeah, I just banned them. I was like, no. And then naturally, Nick, being the jokester, was like, can I be an Ewok? And now he's like the most serious and competent character as the Ewok. And I love it. Because it's so against type.
Yeah, he's not like random tribal thing. I mean, didn't we kind of like joke that he should like base it on like one of those like badass arts or something from like the comics or something, where it's like literally an Ewok and a bunch of stormtrooper skulls or helmets?
Yeah.
And he literally did that.
Yeah, it's an old comic where it tells the Battle of Endor from the stormtrooper's perspective, and the Ewoks are like a nightmare, killing them off like monsters. Yeah. And he plays it out. It's really cool. I like it. I think it's one of my favorite things about the campaign. I just wish I had more for him to do, which I'm kind of doing this current arc we're on. But anyway. Yeah. So that's species. So Jedi. I like Steve's suggestion of having the Force, but having it not be like full-blown Jedi. We have one of my NPCs who uses the Force in my game. And I've said no lightsabers even, so.
Yeah.
You can do it with just Force sensitive or a low amount of the Force. And I think that's fine. In the old D20 system, it used to be all or nothing Jedi. Like one Jedi would ruin a party. And I'm not sure it's that way in Edge of the Empire, but I still kind of feel like one Jedi kind of can take over a party just by the pure Force of their, you know, path or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Blending and switching things up keeps it interesting. I would also say if one of your players is like, no, I really want to be a Jedi, and the rest of the team's like freaking like bounty hunters and smugglers and shit. First of all, session one, and you probably want to tell them beforehand, I would break their lightsaber. I would make them need to go on a quest to get it back, because that should be an end game weapon. And yeah, make them work for it.
I mean, you could also do it another way. You could, if they're like, no, I want my lightsaber, and you're like, all right, fine. So you're going to be a Jedi, you'll have a lightsaber. It's like, but we're going to go the Luke Skywalker route, and you're basically going to be in kind of training, but you're not going to have your master. So you're going to be trying to figure this out on your own to a degree. Maybe they get separated or something like before the session starts in like session zero or whatever. And so they don't have access to someone to teach them the way. Might be a little bit better way.
Huh? Can't say the way. The way is Mandalorians now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
The ways of the Force?
The ways of the Force. Yeah, that's what I meant. I was just trying to shorten it.
I know. This is the way.
This is the way. I don't know. This is the way was fine in the first Mandalorian season. It wasn't ruined or anything because I didn't see the second one yet. But
this is the way is still good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just meant when you said it, I was like, everyone's going to be thinking Mandalorian. Who's seen
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
If you haven't, you should.
Yeah, it's good.
Seasons one and two are good. Boba Fett's bad, but there's like two Mandalorian episodes that you should watch. Look up the two Mandalorian episodes and just watch those. Yeah, I thought of actually another thing that I would totally do with a lightsaber that I think is kind of cruel, but kind of amazing.
Oh, first, you're not talking about like one of those like broken lightsabers, are you?
No. First session, have a character whose dark side show up, or the opposite side of whatever your Jedi is. Contrive to have them switch lightsabers. So now your Jedi has a red lightsaber, which indicates dark Jedi or Sith. That way there's a real consequence, or at least like, you know, there's social consequences for them lightsabering up. I think that would be neat.
Yeah, they get into a clash and then something happens and they both like lose their lightsaber, and then like one of them has to like peace out, and so he takes the wrong one or something.
Yeah. And then for the rest of the time your freaking Jedi is like, no, I'm a Jedi, and everyone's like, a Jedi with a red lightsaber. And they're like, yeah. And everyone's like, no.
Yeah. Something, if you are listening to this and you're not super familiar with Star Wars, or if you're not like super like knowledgeable, you've just seen like the movies, is that like, it's not just that like, oh yeah, lightsabers are blue and red. You've probably seen the movies. You've seen there are other colors, but like most of them have like an actual like meaning behind them. Like lore wise, they're not just, you don't just normally choose like whatever. Sometimes you do, depending on what time period you're on. But generally, yeah. Red is seen as evil.
Yep.
And I think like blue is like security or someone that's still fresh, and then green is like knowledge or wisdom or something, right?
Yeah, green tends to be for masters.
Yeah. And then you have purple and
purple is for Mace Windu.
Yeah, purple is Mace Windu.
Yellow's for Rey. Pink is for Leia.
wait, Leia had a pink one?
In the books, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because she's a girl. You don't
know. What was Mara Jade's?
Mara Jade, I think, had blue.
Oh, okay.
If you don't know who Mara Jade is, I highly recommend looking up Mara Jade. the most costly thing that Disney took from us. Anyway. So yeah, I agree with Steve. Put a little thought into the color, maybe what it means. If your character had a master, where are they? What are they doing? Are they occasionally showing up to give cryptic force ghost messages like a jerk? Also recommended. LOL's masters, where they like to fuck with the students.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like pre-serious Yoda. High recommend. Cannot recommend enough.
So. Yeah, you mean... You could always have, if you don't want to necessarily have, like, literally Yoda, I mean, you could use, like, that kind of, like, jokey, like, master that's teaching you something that's doesn't seem like it's actually important is kind of, like, I mean, I guess it's the trope, but I was going to say, like, you can find that in, like, Karate Kid. literally Miyagi.
I mean, I haven't gotten to genre blending yet either, but honestly, watch some Wuxia movies, watch a samurai movie. Like, you can draw master archetypes from those really easily.
True, true. No midichlorians?
Let them have their midichlorians if they want their midichlorians.
Okay.
I'm a creative person. I can't possibly fathom how you could make midichlorians interesting. But if you can, do it. Also, if you want to use midichlorians as a joke, that's where I did it. That's where I'd go, but yeah.
All right. You have your midichlorians if you want.
I already banned Gungans. No. I said you could use Gungans if you want. So yeah, all of these things need to be taken into account. But the kind of next biggest thing after, you know, planets, maybe some aliens, definitely era. You want to know what environment you're doing.
Yep.
Star Wars is known to have several different kind of modes. And we just talked about Jedi, you know, Jedi can do political intrigue. They can do Jedi missions where you're trying to like recruit a new force user, be a diplomat, kill a dark Jedi, find information about a dark Jedi, be turned into a dark Jedi.
Start a school with Padawans that totally won't die.
Wow. That's happened a couple times. So I don't even know
what to say. Like, I mean, I feel like if you're part of the Sith, that's just like, you know, that's like Halloween. You're just like, all these treats for me to just go and just like, you know, destroy for the evening. Yeah. It's like all and in I mean, one place.
And I mean, don't forget about the struggle too.
Oh,
Jedi
yeah,
struggle with the dark side. Dark Jedis and Sith struggle with the light side. I actually like that addition from the sequel trilogy. I do think dark Jedi and Sith should struggle with like feelings of like regret or empathy, because they're not supposed to do that, but they are natural feelings. And, you know, you should struggle with the cost of what you've done, no matter what side you're on. So just what makes an interesting character.
How would you feel if someone used that as kind of like the limiting factor for a Jedi in the campaign? Was that it's like, obviously you're going to have some like pull to the dark side if you're a Jedi character, but like, what if it was like really bad? Had like a Sith Lord that's like far away and can't quite catch up to you because of the, you know, the pace that you guys are going, or because they're so fucking far away that their only way to like get at you is to like literally get in your head and like mess you up.
I mean, I think that's a great limiting factor, you know.
Okay.
You have a Jedi who hasn't slept much, or you have a Jedi who, you know, they can't lose focus lest their consciousness be kind of like temporarily like taken over, and like suddenly your enemy knows exactly where you are. That kind of stuff's really cool.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But you can also go the scum and villainy route.
Yep.
You got your smugglers, you got your bounty hunters, you got your gangsters, and of course, you got your gamblers, right, Steve?
Yep. Sometimes there's a blend between them, and sometimes your gambler's also your doctor.
True. This is the side I prefer, because, you know, The best hero character in Star Wars is Han. I'm not apologizing. I'm also not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. I'd accept R2 or Chewie, though, as close seconds.
Ooh, you make a good point. yeah, sorry, Luke fanboys. we love you, but you're wrong. So yeah, that side of it's going to be a little scuzzier, a little bit more dangerous, a little darker, a little more moral ambiguity. And honestly, it's a little more interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
If you want to go a little more complex, there's, of course, political intrigue, which is more complicated, and it takes a lot more to make it fun, I think. But I think you could do it, you know?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on the group, too, because, like, a lot of people in our group, I don't think would be happy with, like, a very politically driven, like, campaign. I mean, I know there's... M would probably be down for it.
Oh, God. Yeah, but he'd be trying to, like, assassinate people in the background.
Well, that's why he'd be down for it. That, and he'd be also be trying to use his politics to get, you know, to the top of the food chain. when backstabbing was not an option. But, yeah.
Alongside that, there's, of course, the soldier route. These are some Star Wars, after all.
True.
And I do think soldier games can be really cool and fun. I haven't run a Star Wars one of those, but I totally could.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it on the podcast before, but like one of my favorite Star Wars games is, I mean, it's a very simple game, but Republic Commando was a really good game where essentially you have like a squad of four clone troopers that go out and you can basically like hand signal like them to go to like different positions and to do different acts and stuff like that. And then that can be kind of interesting because you get to have them like have combat, but then you also get to like add strategy to it for something like that. Or you could do like a like mercenary squad in like ships. So you have like instead of having like a rogue squadron, you have, you know, like misfit bandit squadron of mercenaries that gets hired to do whatever. And I think that could be kind of fun having something like that where you have like more of a like a ship focused campaign for combat if you wanted to have people that wanted to be pilots and stuff like that. Because it's something that's hard to blend sometimes is like, okay, who's the pilots of the group? Okay, how good of a pilot are you? Oh, well, you are two pilots that actually aren't that great of pilots. Well,
yeah, it's... Ships have, in Edge of Empire, pilot, co-pilot, gunners, and occasionally, like, repairs or astronav stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of weird balance, and I don't think I've totally gotten it down, but I do think it's interesting. And it's nice to keep in mind, you know, who's going to be doing what in space combat? Who's going to be doing what in regular combat? Who's going to be doing what in, like, vehicle combat?
I almost want to say that you should have, like... I don't know. I mean, if I wanted to get like really intricate and like balancing that system and make it a little bit more interesting, because like it's hard to choose like, oh, I'm going to pick all this like space combat stuff. And then like your campaign takes mostly, you know, place on like the planet, like that kind of sucks for you. So like it wouldn't be out of my realm of like reasoning to be like, okay, well, you know, pick like a primary and secondary focus for your character and then you'll get 3 points for, you know, your secondary one. It's not going to be much, but you'll get something so that everybody can have like something space oriented to some degree, or they could, you know, use, maybe it's, you know, maybe you have your general and you have your like utility. So it could be, you know, your medical, your repairs, your piloting, and that stuff be like in a secondary group from basically everything else that everyone will always pick.
Yeah.
You know, like how like divide it somewhat so you make sure that people have some skills that will be useful so that not everybody's just like, oh, well, we're not gonna be doing much space combat, so no one bothered to take pilot.
Yeah. Also, if you have your random person who really wants to be like a pod racer or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or they can still be the pod racer, but still be useful outside of pod racing.
Yeah. Or like a ship racing, or I guess a black hole racer.
A Kessel runner.
Yeah, a Kessel runner. It's a thing. And don't forget, you know, music, dancing. You got your corporations. There's a lot of stuff to do.
Oh, sorry. Your musicians.
Yeah.
Space bars.
So that's,
come on,
a lot of the kind of base stuff. I definitely think you could throw some more into that, you know, some stuff we don't usually see. And I think about it. how are you going to make this your own? You do have your Star Wars tropes. We have a whole episode on planning a space opera, and I think a lot of that applies to this. It's episode 85. You have authority and rebellion, if you want to think about that. You have droids and droid rights, which is something that only comes up explicitly in Solo, and it's really bad in that movie. So do it better.
I mean, it appears in Jabba's palace. You can literally see them like torturing droids and stripping them apart and stuff. Well, I guess also in Empire too, on Cloud City. Yeah, droids rights suck.
Yeah. But if you want to deal with it, like deal with it.
Yeah.
Don't mention it and then ignore it like Solo does. You, of course, have your creatures. Don't forget about the creatures. I feel like the key Star Wars things are droids. Have a creature pop every once in a while. Be sure to have a chase scene. Generally one on land, one in space. And a lot of the battles in Star Wars are very character-driven.
Yep.
If you think about any fight in Star Wars, in the original trilogy.
Stormtrooper hits its head. Got it. Oh, wait, sorry.
True. It's Han trying to impress the princess by chasing a stormtrooper down a hallway and into a larger group of stormtroopers. Fucking classic.
Yep.
You have, naturally, your kind of big Jedi confrontations that are full of feeling and meaning and betrayal and all that stuff. And that's like what Star Wars is. Star Wars is a little melodramatic, and I like to lean into that shit. Maybe a little too much sometimes. Right, Steve?
Yeah.
But keep that mix, because that's what really makes it like feel like Star Wars. The plot elements pull from everywhere, but the mix is kind of what you want.
Yeah.
Naturally, you have some big concepts. War, coming of age, which, hey, we're going to do that genre next episode. Heroism, which we did in episode 52, The Hero's Journey 101. All these kind of big ideas come to the forefront in Star Wars. And it's a very classic series, but you can literally pull from anywhere. Lucas pulled from everything. Westerns, samurai films, comedies, the big sci-fi epics of his day, to the like the silly serials of his childhood. And if you've never seen a serial, a film
Cookie
serial,
Crisp?
Oh man, no, not that kind of serial.
Oh,
you're in for an interesting thing. Most of them, I can't watch more than one. They're very repetitive, but you know, they're fun and cute. That's where I got the opening crawls from.
Ah.
So yeah, you can make your Star Wars completely insane. Star Wars Infinities on Disney Plus, not my favorite thing, but I think you can go nuts with it. Star Wars can be anything you want it to be.
True. There's a ton of planets, and I mean, there's going to be all sorts of different situations that you could basically reason almost anything.
True. Also clones.
Also clones.
You thought I was going to forget, didn't you?
No, it wasn't that I forgot that, or that I thought you'd forget. It was more of that.
For those of you who
don't
know.
I didn't ask for clones, but I got clones.
Yeah. Steve's character in my Star Wars game. I made his girlfriend have some clones, and it's been good times.
Yeah. You know, just exactly what you wanted to hear. There's more of your girlfriend out there.
Yeah. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I don't know. Don't be afraid to, you know, pick up an old book that Disney has decided is not canon and read it and literally take it and be like, no, this.
I agree.
I mean, there's a lot of really good stories out there. I haven't read all that many of them, but like most of the books I've read have at least been acceptable.
Yeah, pick up the Thrawn trilogy, Han Solo trilogy.
Yep.
Look at something from the Yuuzhan Vong. They're pretty freaking crazy. Yeah, a lot of good stuff. A lot of good audiobooks, actually. They have like a main reader and then a couple of supplementary readers, and they're usually pretty good. They're usually very high-value productions with like music and everything.
Oh, yeah, even the really old ones. I remember like when they were on like cassette, not to beat me. Or anything, but like even those, I remember like when I was a kid, I had like a cassette tape that, God, I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the, like the X-Wing
The X-Wing series.
Yeah, and it had like literally like you could hear like the engines and the lasers and stuff like that, and I was like, cool.
Yeah, the new ones still have that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, but now they have more budget and they can also do like more stuff, more freedom. So yeah, like
yeah.
Don't discount the books; they're a valuable asset. Also, if you're worried about creatures or vehicles, there's like tons of like collections. I know you used to have one for like ships or something way back when that had like Slave One and Millennium Falcon and like all those other like iconic ships in it.
Yeah, you can find a lot of it just online.
True. Yeah, you can find a lot of it online too. But yeah, just look up collections for that. You don't necessarily have to like always make up a creature for a planet, because it'd be kind of hard to like think of like creative, interesting creatures that make sense. You're not always going to come up with like Rancors or Sarlacc or Dianaga or whatever, but you know,
it's true. Occasionally, you're going to have some Minok chewing on the power cables.
Yup. And then you run into Space Slug.
God damn it.
Yeah, I think that's all I had. Unless there's anything else you wanted to add.
No, I think we should just remind everyone to play what you love. And until next time, do something epic, Mayor characters. Directed by George Lucas.
May the 4th be with you.
Yes, may the 4th be with you all. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.